Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from three passages of Scripture, short passages, two out of the New Testament and one out of the Old Testament. First, out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, beginning at verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then out of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11, familiar passage we've read before. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans for hope and a future." And then again out of the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 25, verse 23, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" Well, the past few weeks we've looked at contentment. Paul realized he needed to learn it, and he talked about learning contentment. And by his example, we can learn it as well. And we talked about that, content in Christ, becoming more like Christ, aligned with his will and the purpose that he intended for our lives when he created us. That's how we move toward contentment. Our purpose, our mission should answer these questions. Why do I exist? Why am I here? What should be the bottom line measurement of the impact of my life? How would I know that my life is what it should be? Actually, the same questions probably that a corporation like Coca-Cola should ask itself as it evaluates its performance each year. Why do we exist? For Coke, the answer might be something as simple as to sell a can of Coke. But should there be more to their purpose than a bottom line that is simply measured by a profit and loss statement, how many Cokes they sell? For you and me, seeking contentment in an alignment with Christ, it may very well be that there is a purpose for us. And I would suggest for a company like Coca-Cola as well, but a purpose for us that is measured by something more than the profit and loss statement of our lives, the stuff and things of our lives. In their book, The Soul of a Team, written by Tony Dungy with the help of my son Nathan, one of the principles, by the way, great book, fiction account, you'll love it, great book. But one of the principles of truly effective teams that they talked about, teams in any setting, whether they be sports, education, business, family, any setting, is a larger purpose. It's the L in soul, S-O-U-L, L, larger purpose, something beyond wins, something beyond money and fame and stuff, something that is focused on having an impact that changes lives around us now and for eternity. In realizing his purpose in life, the Apostle Paul found contentment grew in his relationship with Christ as that relationship grew, something for you and me to strive for, contentment in a growing relationship with the one who literally changed the world by going around making somebodies out of those that the world at the time labeled as nobodies, finding people where they were and taking them where they ought to be. You know, that's not a bad purpose, not a bad path for us to walk in our lives, his path. So what is your purpose with the life, with the gifts, with the resources, the unique abilities, passions, and opportunities that you have been given? Is it aligned with the one whose birth that we celebrated a month ago? I remember a number of years ago being absorbed watching with my elder granddaughter, Hannah, who at the time was 8 years old, a rerun of the children's television series, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. As we watched, my thoughts drifted to scenes with her daddy, our son Nathan, years earlier at probably 5 or 6 years of age when we first began to watch Mr. Rogers with him. It's how Nathan learned, by the way, to gauge the passing of time by the length of Mr. Rogers' show. For example, he might ask, "How long until dinner?" And we would answer, one Mr. Rogers or two Mr. Rogers. He's nice. My 8-year-old Hannah chirped softly, interrupting my thoughts about Nathan from years earlier as she watched Fred Rogers tie up his colored kid sneakers, zip on his sweater, and gently sing one of his trademark songs. It's you I like, not what you wear or how you look, but you, down deep inside. There was something about him that was believable. Kids of all ages felt better when he spoke or sang to them. Nathan and I and his mom, Linda, believed him. And through the years, many others have believed him too. There was even that one little girl, now a grown woman, who thanked Mr. Rogers while he was in New York City to be recognized for a lifetime of achievement about a year before he passed on to heaven. The woman told Mr. Rogers that as a little girl, not much older than our precious little Hannah at the time, she had been terribly abused. You can only imagine the very worst of what she was subjected to, and you would be right. But each day, she had a safe room in her house where she watched Mr. Rogers' TV show and listened to him tell her, just her, she thought, that he liked her, that she was pretty and special just the way she was. It was almost make-believe for her listening to him each day, but his reassuring words carried her through the horror she suffered and endured day after day until she was older and was able to break free and run away. And even though she was terribly scarred by all she went through as a child, she survived largely because of those words of love and hope from Fred Rogers, which came through that TV screen to her through the years. And even today, she told him those words and her memories of those shows still help her to move on in life and to help others in similar circumstances, and through that, to live a life of purpose, a life of meaning and sensitivity and understanding for others and helping them to heal from similar circumstances. Through tears, as Mr. Rogers retold the story shared with him by that woman as he was accepting the Lifetime Achievement Award, he said, quote, that he felt as though the airwaves that had existed between him and that little girl through the years had been holy ground, a place that was affirming, loving, and holding her secure. And my friends, they had been. It's you I like, he would always say, not what you wear or how you look, but you, down deep inside. He said it over and over and over in show after show after show. And in that, Mr. Rogers found his purpose, his mission in life. For I know the plans I have for you, said the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans for hope and a future. He found his purpose, why he existed. And he conveyed that message every day on the holy ground of those television airwaves to everyone who watched and listened, that God had a plan for their life too, that God loved them too. The bottom line measurement of the success and purpose of Fred Rogers' life through the years was the countless number of children of all ages whose lives were changed for the better because of him. He found his reason to exist, his purpose, and he followed that purpose until he took his last breath. It clearly was a purpose and mission which had been ordained by God and sustained by God. It became his holy ground. It was a purpose for which Fred Rogers was gifted by God to fulfill. And at a time in the world, not unlike today, my friends, when it was needed to help children and even adults, whether abused like that little girl or just needing encouragement and a lift up in life at a moment in their lives when they're struggling to feel better about themselves. What is our purpose in life? Yours and mine. Where is your holy ground, your place to have an impact for good in the world around you, to change the world for the better, one life at a time? What is the bottom line for you? What is it for most businesses, for sports franchises, for players, coaches, staff, and others? Is it really all about dollars or wins or championships or trophies? Or is there a larger purpose? Is there a larger, better purpose and mission for you and your organization, your educational institution, other organizations or institutions, your family? Maybe, and I would suggest absolutely, an eternal purpose for your life. How will you and I be remembered by others when we are gone? Will we be remembered for our stuff, our name on things, for the wins, the trophies, or because we used our holy ground, everything that God had given us and where he placed us to make a difference in the lives around us? What is the bottom line measurement of the impact of our lives? Is it money? Is it fame and recognition? What is the bottom line measurement for the use of the resources that we have been blessed with, or for the teams and the organizations that we live? Where is our holy ground, our purpose? My friends, listen to me. Our holy ground is wherever we find ourselves at any moment. Every day, God provides us with the opportunity to walk on holy ground by touching the world around us with him everywhere we are and in every moment. Let me suggest that the bottom line purpose of our lives should be measured in terms of the lives that we change for the better. And if we do that, all the other bottom line things that the world looks at as important, money, wins, championships, success, whatever, will take care of themselves. And in the process, we will add value to the lives around us, lift them when they need it, a lift in life, and make an eternal difference today and in the future in lives that we know and those we may not know until we receive our Lifetime Achievement Award, standing before God in eternity and hearing his voice tell you, well done, good and faithful servant. Because on the holy ground, wherever we found ourselves, we lived out our larger purpose in life to change lives here and for eternity, whether anyone else knew what we did or not, leaving the legacy that God intended for you and for me to leave in this, our one life, day after day. Let me pray for us. Keep poking us, Lord. Keep reminding us. Thank you for your words through Mr. Rogers that wherever we are is a holy ground that you call us to, that you are with us at, to make a difference in the world around us. It's not about stuff. It's not about money. It's not about our name on things. It's not about people recognizing us. It's about that one life before us that you call us to, that you place before us, that we can help, that we can lift, that we can make a difference. That life that hears that we are liked and we are loved by you. As Mr. Rogers always said, it's you I like, not what you wear, how you look, but you deep down inside. And that's what you say to us every day, Lord. Help us to say that for you to others around us. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for us and with us. Thank you for your precious son. And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.